Support comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign.
This is the February 19 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the marketplace and USDA's Ag Outlook Forum this morning, releasing a series of numbers with Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Mike Zuzolo from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting from Atchison, Kansas, and Rich Nelson, the Director of Research at Allendale in McHenry, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at WILLAG.org. There you'll find a list of our agricultural programming and a way for you to donate, make a contribution, become one of the new 100 members of our supporting team. We are public radio, after all, for $60 for the year on this $5 Friday. It's all at WILLAG.org. Just hit donate. Well, gentlemen, let's begin, as we always do, with our list of things to talk about. I think it might be short. How about for you, Mike Zuzolo?
Oh, gosh, I guess obviously the USDA Ag Forum numbers that just got released, and, you know, whether the market's trying to figure out whether the euro currency is going to survive still. Those are probably and how the wheat's wrapped up in that.
Kurt Kimmel?
USDA Forum numbers, I guess that's going to be front and center.
And then Rich Nelson.
Boy, I'd say the same thing. USDA Ag Forum, and I don't know if we want to do South American weather, but if we want to talk about that, we can.
Well, let's start there. I would like to talk a little bit about South American weather, Rich, because there are some important things I think that may be happening. You may have a better handle on it. They had a tough time in Brazil, at least, getting started with their soybean crop. They're having a tough time, apparently, getting it out. That might mean some unique things, I suppose, for the Safrina or second crop corn, and you may have some bit different ideas. What are you hearing?
The same type of story here. Maybe some concern on the second crop corn, whether it's going to be a market impacting or, you know, something that they'll get in and a few weeks delayed, probably the big question for me right now.
Right. Anything else out of Brazil, South America that we can think of? Mike, have you been following how well they've been able to move that crop around? It doesn't look like so very well yet, and our exports seem to be remaining fairly strong here in the United States.
Yeah, I think the expectation is we're going to keep that up for at least another couple weeks until the end of the month. Some of the more negative trader contacts that I've spoken with here in the last week or so are expecting quite a bit of a shift to South America. Once China comes back from the Lunar New Year, once we get into March, one source just a couple days ago sent me a text message from some contacts down in Uruguay saying that between Paraguay and Brazil and Argentina, there's at least 10 million more tons of exportable bean supplies coming out of South America than there were last year. And the question is, and you know rightly bring it up, Todd, and what Rich was talking about is, will the weather permit it to be timely or not?
Okay, so let's tie that into what's been happening in Washington, D.C. Kurt Kimmel, USDA, at their Ag Forum on Thursday morning, released some figures. Let's just take up the soybeans at the moment. 83.5 million acres are expected to be planted. Last year it was 83.7, I think. So about what we planted last year, but that's certainly not a number that the trade was thinking about very hard, at least.
No, it's a situation. If you're a seedsman selling bean seed, I guess you're expecting some bean cancellations or some bean seed returns. Who we've been visiting with and what we've been hearing amongst the whole industry is guys leaning a little heavier beans. Saw the statement, though, that this number was not a producer survey, so evidently they were looking at overall profitability at the lower end of the spectrum with an average price of $9, the idea that we're going to have less acres all around. So it's going to be quite interesting to see when we get into the March 31st Planting Intentions Report. These acreage numbers has had much anywhere from 8 to 11 million acre swings in past history, so it's It's going to set the stage. If you're following these numbers, it could be a volatile trade as we move forward.
I think the overall acreage figure for all planted crops, at least eight of them, the eight primaries, was, 255 million. That was down 3.3 million from last year. They also expect the CRP acreage to be a bit lower. It's not that odd, I don't think, Mike Zuzlo, for acreage to swing, I don't know, 10 or 12 million acres in the United States from one year to the next if you look at it over time. Is this a year where you could see that 3.3 million drop out?
I think so, but I would also say that if you look at the eight crop total, including the CRP, you're down almost 5 million acres from last year, 4.7. And that's even with the 1.3 million more CRP acres coming out. And that seems a little bit odd to me, Todd. I think there's probably 1.5, maybe 2 almost million acres that could come back in. You know what Kurt just talked about really reminded me of the acreage number has been one of the biggest reasons, and what USDA was going to give us has been one of the biggest reasons holding me back from selling more 2015 beans. And now I feel like at 83.5, that's one of the smallest, if not the smallest, number we're going to see this spring. So I feel like fundamentally and seasonally, and now that we've got these USDA acreage numbers out of the way, I'm in the red zone to get some more 15 beans hedged, especially if we can break into that $10 futures price again.
And so you're going to hedge. You're not confident that this number is correct then, I take it.
I have a hard time with the ratio of 2.36 and what, you know, Kurt specifically said about it not being farmer surveyed. I think that resonates with almost every private analyst out there after today's numbers or after this week's numbers were published, is that we're hearing the exact opposite. And with a ratio of 2.36, gosh, I would love it if beans would go higher here because I think it'd really help the corn price too.
Rich Nelson, you're the director of research there at Allendale. Have you put the numbers into a supply and demand table or rolled them around to see what you come out with?
You know, in terms of that goes, we actually did not here today. What we were more interested in was the idea of with USDA having such a small soybean number for their acreage number, they had a $9 average cash price for 2015-16. Using their numbers, I would be very interested to see another 3 million acres on top of what they put in at a minimum and see what type of price they would then be suggesting, probably 8 to 20, 8.40 then.
Yeah, so their figures both for corn and soybeans cash prices were low. What was it for corn at $3.50? Is that right?
$3.50, that's right.
Yeah, so it was a low number, and $9 should seem pretty low, I would think, for most producers as well, and especially $9 at an 83.5 million acre sowing. That number probably is scary enough. If you at Allendale been working on making new crop soybean sales?
You know, we sure have here. We've got, I want to say, 3/4 done already, and we'll be very eager on anything touching these $10 prices like we are now on the futures end for old crop. Certainly looking at moving remaining old crop. For new crop, certainly 50% sold, and we'll be very eager on anything rebounding here for the next few weeks to get things wrapped up here.
How about you, Kurt?
Yeah, we've been fairly aggressive. In fact, we've been promoting price floors quite heavily, so producers have the flexibility to pick some delivery locations down the road. But, you know, we feel that the main risk is to the downside in the soybean complex. It's just a matter of doing something you're comfortable with, because what the guys figured acreage and stuff this winter and talked about, they were figuring, you know, $10 beans plus, and if we go ahead and get the acreage, have favorable weather, we're going to have to start penciling some lower prices, and that doesn't pan out very well. So we feel the risk remains to the downside and liking having downside coverage.
Hey, Rich, I did see some numbers that were put in supply and demand tables, and at the 83.5, and I think even Darrell Good's numbers from upstairs here in Mumford Hall, the College of Aces, are pretty close to that. 385 million bushels, which is what our current carryout is, you know, not really growing anything for next year either at those same numbers. So it'd be surprising that they'd come up with a $9 figure. They must have something else slackening off someplace. I don't know how they managed to put those two together.
That sure is right. As an example, with our acreage estimate of a 3.7 million acre increase, 87.4 million, We have ending stocks here at 527 and a cash average of 869. Our downside futures here certainly a little bit lower than that. But bottom line for right now, I'm a little surprised at how aggressive their numbers worked out with such a moderate acreage issue here. But one thing we can all agree on is the long-term picture is still a little negative here.
And of course, this is the Ag Outlook Forum, and it means less, I suppose, than many of the other things that would be released. USDA has its prospective plantings report due out at the end of the month of March. Quarterly grain stocks reports are due at the same time. How important, at least to the trade, is this today? And I guess maybe we know, because you could say it's 11 cents worth of important in the nearby March, and November contract it was worth 9¾ cents for the day on a Thursday afternoon. But really, is this number a milepost that we'll have to work with, or is it one that will be forgotten fairly quickly? What do you think, Mike Suslow?
I don't think it'll be forgotten quickly if the old crop continues to rally off of weather and continued strong export demand for the United States. Todd, I think that's what the trade continues to be most focused upon, and these numbers from the Ag Forum promote the idea that it is still a demand-led rally. The front-end market continues to pull the back end up, and investment markets really love that backwardization or that reverse carrying charge in the market to be able to trade. They don't make very good money on contango or carrying charge markets, so the investment community likes this trade, and I think the investment community really has enjoyed the November bean December corn trade for the last 5 or 7 years, and this is one of the big numbers that comes out in the middle part of February. Not a lot comes out, like you say, until the end of March, so that bean-corn ratio can really play a very big, strong technical role in the overall flat price action. So I look at it pretty meaningful, especially if the weather and the demand keeps the old crop market technically supportive. I have a nervous mindset about trying to sell old crop beans just from a weekly and monthly chart and the way the technicals look, but now, as I said, with the acreage number being so low from USDA this week, it gives me a little bit more cushion to say, okay, now it's time to lock in some profit, be less worried about the old crop, just stay away from the old crop and concentrate on hedging the new crop.
Did you ever think last fall when we were harvesting a record-setting soybean crop in the United States that you would say demand-led rally in the month of February?
Yes, because that's all it's been the last 7 years. I mean, we've had growing world-ending stocks for, what, 4 out of the last 5 years, I think, and or at the same pace of world-ending stocks 4 out of the last 5 years, and yet the bean price continued to stay above $10, tried to stretch itself above $12.50 several times, and it was all demand, and we continue to see China taking, what, 70-75%, somewhere around there between 65-75% of the world's soybean demand. And that's the bigger long-term issues. Will they continue to do that as they get into this new normal economy? And that's a real tough question to answer.
Rich, have you thought about that one?
I certainly have here. And I actually agree completely with what he mentioned here regarding this demand issue. This is an issue where we do have demand still holding up pretty well. In fact, we're also looking at positive crush margins for the short term as well, and this need for expansion on the meal demand side of things as well. One thing I will point out, though, is we are not yet hitting the crushing end of the supply picture. You know, we haven't seen aggressive farmer marketings yet, and of course, we don't have that happening and probably won't until we see some new crop plantings and emergence here first.
One thing to keep in mind, too, though, I think the previous crop year, we came off a carryout of 92 million bushels. I mean, we were virtually out of beans, so everyone needed to get some coverage when they came forward, and, you know, we saw front-end loading on exports and, you know, meal situation and crush, so, you know, we're going to see some very good usage and lower stocks numbers we go on through here because this front-end market's loaded, and when you look at the carryout at 385 or 360, whatever you want to put on it, we got to carry that into next year, and that's going to be a burdensome number if we do even see this 83.5 that the Outlook Forum came up with. So there's a lot of moving parts here, and when you look down the road and through here, it's going to be interesting to see how this unfolds.
Thursday was just the second rally day of the week for soybeans. Tuesday was a big rally day as well, up, what, 17 cents or something thereabouts. And I'm wondering, you all mentioned meal along the way. Is it the old crop demand for bean meal? And USDA did mention something about growing meats, pounds of meat for this marketing year, especially from the pork and the poultry segment. Is it potentially the idea this week that this is demand-led? And you said this, Mike, out of the old crop, but partially cold weather-led as well, trying to logistically have enough meal in place to feed animals that really need more energy to in these kind of cold conditions.
Yeah, it's a kind of a two-edged sword when you have this kind of cold weather. Not only do the animals want to typically eat more, especially if they're enclosed, it's a lot harder to get the beans to the crushing facilities when you take on this kind of weather in the wintertime. And I just, before we came on the air, I'd actually looked at the maps for the next 15 and 30 days, and it doesn't look as though we're going to get out of this extremely cold 15 to 20 below normal temperatures for this time of year, all the way to the end of the month. And so I think this is, you bring up a huge point. I don't know whether this is where you want to go with it, Todd, but I think this is where your cash basis has one of the best rally potentials that we're going to see probably for the next 60 or 90 days, whether you're talking about corn or beans, because it looks like east of the Mississippi River, no matter where you're talking about, it's going to be about 25 degrees below normal for the rest of this month, and it's going to continue to slow down and drag on the availability of supplies coming out of the farmers' bins.
So farmers have not been willing sellers of either crop, really, opening the bin doors up very often, though I think they may have opened on Tuesday for soybeans just a little bit. And maybe it was on hedge pressure that came out of South America the following day that pushed the market down. I don't know. Maybe you all have a better handle on that one. But at least you're thinking that in the eastern Corn Belt there will be opportunities for both corn and soybeans. And does everybody else agree with that on the basis of the ability to move crop and for livestock to want to consume more under these colder weather conditions?
This is Rich. I'll say yes for right now. For the next 60 days, yes, certainly agree 100%.
USDA also released its corn number on Thursday morning. That was at 89 million acres. That's a lot closer to the 88 that Informa had floated, and most of the trade had really thought might be a pretty good number. At least it seems like it. Informa floats numbers often enough that this one stock, surprisingly enough, the 89 million doesn't seem like it's too far out of hand. Rich, is that someplace that you were thinking about? What kind of number have you been working with at Allendale?
Now, for us, we're using 88.3, so we are, of course, a little bit lower. But really, for USDA, I'm not surprised at all on the core number, at least. This is, they like to be conservative with these numbers, and generally, they get the direction right. And the only question is the severity of the change for corn acreage. So at this point, I can't argue at all with what they said as far as corn numbers here.
So the direction here is lower?
No doubt on corn, and maybe at best, you know, at the highest I could see it, maybe a 200 or 300,000 acre drop. More realistically, I think still a half million to 1.5 million at a minimum here.
Now, that would be the direction for the acreage. Of course, USDA, as you mentioned earlier, had a $3.50 cash price number. Do you think the direction on that one is correct too?
We actually do. And what I find interesting is I'm really, really looking forward to their ending stock numbers for tomorrow. In fact, our numbers are probably going to be on the lower end of the trade range for corn. We're using down to 1.3 billion bushels, and that's where we actually have an average cash price of about 370. So I can't argue too much with what they discussed here for the general tone of prices.
Wait, repeat those numbers for me.
We've got 1.3 billion bushels of new crop ending stocks. So we are actually not bearish on corn for the new crop picture. And we've got 370 for a price for cash there.
You have a 1.3 billion bushel carryout and a $3.70 cash price?
That is right. We do not have a major rally for corn plugged in except for a summer rally. We actually do look for lower prices in the fall on the futures end. But like I said, for the 2015 period, which starts in September and goes through August of 16, we are actually not that bearish on the big picture issues. For the chance to get some better prices done. What will be a drag for us on us this year with corn prices will be wheat, number one, and slightly in a way here, soybeans. The bigger question here, of course, on in my opinion, is actually not the corn pricing, but the overall commodity pricing and appetite for commodities here in the next in the new crop year.
So you must be thinking the rest of the commodities will be fairly burdensome. And
in this case, we do say yes. And I will be very clear, we're going to be the very bullish group of, I guess you could say, of the entire industry on this position for corn. We do look for prices on the futures end to easily get to 430 to 440 for some very good prices for December corn futures. So we're not bearish on that end for some short-term opportunities for a summer rally. But like I said, as far as cash goes, we think we'll see an appreciating cash market into 2016 on out due to some very strong basis.
Okay, so up front, so you're sell earlier rather than later, big time, I would think, on corn. Is that correct?
That sure is right.
All right, so Mike, what do you think?
I think a lot of what Rich says resonates with me, and you know, he talked about the question mark about, and this is what I was inferring, so correct me if I'm wrong, Rich, but it kind of inferring whether we're going to have deflation or inflation in 2015 and where that demand for commodities, both investment demand and actual demand, is going to come from and whether it's going to ramp up or not, like we historically see in the middle of a decade. You know, it's historically, this is a time where we start to build some demand back up, whether you're talking about 1995, 2005, or 2015. And I feel as though, as long as we don't have a full-fledged breakdown of the euro currency, and, you know, throws more money into the dollar and more money into U.S. bonds, we're already starting to build a commodity demand base that's going to be very strong as we get into the second half of the calendar year of 2015. I went back and looked at the world volume of trade and the growth there in actual world volume of goods that are traded, not just the money moving around, but with, you know, 2 to 5% year-over-year growth since 2010, our world growth today is now about 15% better than the previous peak back in 2008, Todd. And if you boil that down to grain-consuming animal units, we're headed back towards the top end where we were in 2007, 2008, in all animal feeding, back up towards that 95 to 96 million animal units number, the former peak. So this is where that stronger dollar and the stronger bean demand and the stronger corn demand doesn't match with a lot of the bearish trading that's been going on. But this, I think, goes right back to the euro currency, the dollar, the crude oil, and what the investors are looking at right now. So corn could be one of the first out of the gates for the upside and a low to be put in. But I will once again say I think wheat's got to put that low in first.
Wait. I have to. You're going to have to talk me through this a little bit, Mike, again, because you agree with Rich on the idea, I think, that lower cash prices are in the offing, and let's go out to spring, summer 2016, 17, 18, 19, right?
I see your confusion there. I am actually using a 410 cash price on the corn for this coming year, 15-16. I agree with Rich on the demand side and the friendliness potential of the corn. Yeah,
you just have a different... Okay.
Yep, now I see where I took you the wrong way. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking, boy, you made a pretty good case for a pretty strong price. And okay. All right, so Rich, I got to come back to you because I still don't quite understand the demand portion of it. And the carryout as it relates to the price you have. I don't get where those two come together.
What we're looking at right now here, and I'll be very clear about this, Todd, is we think that in this case, corn will be able to divorce itself for a period of time. Later, like we mentioned, in the 2016 time frame, not 2015, certainly is the case here, that it will be able to divorce itself a little bit in terms of pricing from the other group here. And we can all agree that, yes, the bean numbers are terrible. The wheat numbers may be manageable, both U.S. and world. We have small disagreements probably on the severity of that. But the long-term corn picture, you're looking at the long-term, in our opinion, is one where U.S. picture is going to drop off a little bit here in terms of supply as we go to normal acreage. We have a small decline in acreage. We drop back in terms of yields, get down to 165. And we start hacking away at production here. So we do look for a little better picture as we go into the 2016 period for corn as a whole here.
All right. Kurt Kimmel, what kind of numbers are you working with?
Well, it's going to depend on weather. I mean, weather's going to be a big player here as far as acreage this spring. Typically, if we can get in early, we're going to see probably these corn acres maybe inch up just a tad bit. Then, too, we get in the growing season. You know, Farmer's Almanac says we're going to have problems in the upper Midwest, and so there's going to be excitement here. I think the trade wants to run the corn here, you know, on some weather here this spring or this summer. So price-wise, I like we said, we could run up this 4.5 area fairly easily. And if we have some more adverse weather, then your $5 corn bull could come in here for a short period of time. But overall, I agree. I think that the price risk becomes to the downside going into this fall. I believe guys have sold beans, been hanging on to corn, and they're going to hang on to corn until the better end in some areas. And so we're going to have a pre-harvest clearance sale here, and then we'll have some harvest pressure. So if the weakness in the corn market comes, we feel it's going to be this fall sometime.
All right. So I think I've got this right. Everybody is a seller of old and new crop corn sometime, very soon, relatively speaking, meaning sometime between now and, I don't know, June 1st. Is that correct?
I would tighten mine up to before the March acreage report, but I'm actually looking for, you know, pretty good size low, possibly in the middle part of the calendar year.
Rich?
We're actually looking for a drop in prices, about another 30 to 40 cents from here, a solid bottom for June, then a good rebound to get those new crop sales done here into July, August.
Oh, okay. And Kurt, you're protecting in a different way already, so you put floors in place.
I believe so. I think you can come in and do these mid-max contracts. That way we go higher, you can make sales higher. If we just fail to go from here, you've got some downside protection. But I believe you got to use strength in here to get some physical price.
Well, thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. How about a final word from each of you? Mike Zuzel, let's start with you.
Well, I think finishing up on the currencies, Todd, I think Greece and Ukraine are still making the market wonder whether the euro is going to survive, not just if the euro is going to go to parity with the dollar, but whether the euro is going to survive. And I think we took a couple steps backwards this week with what happened between Russia and the Ukraine and also between Greece and the EU. So that's going to be something we're going to have to really watch carefully here.
Big picture. Kurt Kimmel.
Well, there's a lot of noise out there, and I think you've got to focus on your marketing plan, your own particular situation you're in. The risk is to the downside through here, so I'd trade accordingly.
And Rich Nelson.
Message here for the week. Certainly agree with both the comments here, but main focus right now, yes, getting this crop planted and such will solidify some of the bearish issues lined up in front of us. Certainly for bearish on the beans here, and for corn, bearish, a little bit old crop, but we do feel there's opportunities for new crop lined up.
Rich Nelson is the Director of Research for Allendale out of McHenry, Illinois, joined here on this February 19th edition of Commodity Week by Mike Zuzulo, Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, and Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.